Good day, radio listeners. It's time for Pure Sex Radio. This is the best in mobile talk radio. Listen to real-life struggles and learn how to overcome lust, pornography, and sex addiction. And get serious about purity. Your hosts are Jonathan Daugherty, director of Be Broken Ministries, and Steven Cervantes, founder of Hope Counseling Center. And now, please welcome Jonathan and Steven on Pure Sex Radio.
Hello, radio listeners. We're glad to have you back here on the Pure Sex Radio program. We are high atop our perch here in the radio studio at in San Antonio, Texas. And my name is Jonathan Daugherty. I'm here with my co-host, Steven Cervantes. So, Steven, how are you doing today?
Good morning. I'm doing well. Or you could be listening in the evening.
True. Yeah, true. It's morning here when we're doing this, but you can listen to it anytime on the podcast.
So my question to you is this. What are we doing? Two guys held up in a radio talking about sexual purity. Come on, does anybody really care?
We must be out of our mind.
Or are we like standing with our swords and shields facing the tsunami of the culture? Going, if it hits us, it hits us, but we're going to stand erect with our swords, shields, and helmets on, and we will engage the battle. We will not follow the tsunami wherever it goes.
And how many times with our sword in hand, shield raised, we take a glance over our shoulder, and there's miles of wasteland of nobody behind us, and we're wondering, are we doing the right thing, you know? Is this where we're supposed to be? But I think, you know, that's sometimes how the calling of God works, is he calls you to something that is beyond what you think you should be doing. You look around and you wonder, is this making any kind of difference? Is this making any kind of impact?
Right.
And yet he still calls you to do that very thing.
And we're told to take a stand and then stand.
Mm-hmm.
Stand firm. You know, stand firm to your calling. So even if it's just you and I encouraging one another towards purity, and I'm hoping there's three other guys out there smiling, going, I'm in the battle, guys. I'm with you. And I hope those guys are jumping up and down going, I'm with you. We're not, there's five of us. There's eight of us. There's 15 of us. We're here.
And so, I think this is definitely one of those ministries where quantity is not at issue here. It's about quality and really working on men and families getting back to a sense of wholeness and purity. And I think that's what this broadcast is going to be about specifically today, is we're going to just talk to each other and just kind of share some insights that we have learned along the way of doing this for a few years. And so, Steve, I want to kind of open the mic up to you. And why don't you just share some insights maybe that you have learned along this journey of fighting this battle?
All right. And I'm reminded in the Bible of the battle where God only wanted 300 men. He sent all the others home. He only wanted 300 good men. And I think that's the cry today, is men that are striving to be good and pure. And my first comment would be that life, this is a quote, I think I've got it close, and I don't even know who wrote it, but it was one of these little calendars, 30-day calendars you get. It said, life is so daily.
Mm.
And I thought, the purity walk is so daily. It's every day. It's every thought. It's keeping your guard up. It's being honest with yourself about knowing your own weaknesses, knowing how the enemy gets over the wall or through the gate and begins the little seduction in your mind process. And it's funny because I'll have to literally stop myself saying, you know what you're doing. Stop it. You're starting to lock on and enjoy. Stop it. And it's funny because it happens. It can happen anywhere. You can be at a department store, at a grocery store, and you turn the corner, and then there's someone there that happens to be your ideal, whatever that is. And then you notice it, and if you lock on and engage and stay and linger, you know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to almost remind ourselves and call ourselves back to purity. Sometimes I'll say to myself, men of purity, men of purity, men of purity. That's a group that I belong to. Men of purity. I just have to keep saying that, cramming that in my head. Men of purity, men, until the other thoughts go away. So that's just number one. And I was just going to go down a few ideas. Any comments?
Well, I think that idea of life is so daily. I think sometimes that can be discouraging and encouraging. Because on the one hand, kind of like what you're talking about, life is so daily means it's so usual to face the same temptations every day.
Yes.
And so there's opportunity for making poor choices, having this ping pong match in your head.
Yes.
But on the positive side of it, God gives us moment by moment by moment every day to make good choices. And it's kind of like, the more we build on those good choices, there's a positive aspect of the life being so daily. Because now we can walk day by day in purity and joy and these things that God wants us to walk in each day. So it's kind of depends on what perspective you're bringing to that statement of how you're going to respond to it. You know, if somebody comes up to you and says, life is so daily, and you're in the middle of a sexual addiction, you're going to think, that's a very discouraging thought.
Mm.
But if you've got some years under your belt of really walking with God and being transparent and walking in purity, you say, yeah, life is so daily. Like, you know, you get up and you hear the birds singing, the sun shining, you know. Mm. There's a different perspective based on where you're at in your life.
That's good. And I was also thinking about the man in the wilderness. He said, okay, I'm going to feed you for one day. And you're going to have to trust in me just one day at a time. There seems to be something essential about capturing the day, just today, just one day. Number two on my list is, you can't handle it. You know, the lie is, you can handle it. You can look at a little. You can lust a little. You can linger a little. You can dine a little bit on this sexual smorgasbord or that one. You can just eat a little and it's fine. You can't. A little means more, and more means the journey to addiction. So nipping it in the bud, stopping yourself in the process, submitting your will, because you can't handle it. Any comment?
Amen.
I see you nodding your head over there.
Yes.
Boy, you should say something.
Well, and that, to me, that just gets back to the whole idea of brokenness. You know, I mean, have you ever experienced this, Steve, either in your personal life or in your counseling, where guys get to a certain point in their journey of recovery and they believe they've reached some graduation point at which they think, well, now I can handle it.
Oh, yeah.
Now I've got it all under control.
That's scary.
And I think that principle of you can't handle it is something that we have to keep in our minds all the time, that, like you said, if you let a little bit in, that's going to want more, and then that more is going to take you down that path of where you were before, and it's kind of that surrender, recognizing I can't handle this. I'm not strong enough to handle this.
That's good. Number three, why don't you talk about another topic? After I'd given a presentation to a group of men up in Seattle, they said it went really well. And why don't you come back and why don't you do a different topic? And I laughed. I thought, oh, your men are all cured? One Saturday morning talk and we're done? Let's do another topic. Let's not talk about sexual purity. Let's talk about something else, stress or being better husbands, but not sexual purity. I just hooted when they said, yeah, come back. We want you to come back. We'll do another topic.
Mm-hmm.
We'd already done one. And I think, I don't know what that means, but let me put that story with this story. You and I did a presentation to a church, and I came across an individual that came up and said, hey, you and Jonathan came and spoke, and this was early on, and you challenged us. There were about 30 men there. He said, three of us took the challenge, and three of us met for 3 months, and nobody else came. And after 3 months, we all filtered out and went to different groups. And we're in accountability groups and men's groups. But the sexual purity church group at our church didn't make it. And I go, yeah, we need another topic, not this one. Let's go do something else.
And how often does, I mean, this is definitely a test of endurance, this type of a ministry, because it's something that, it's not a glamorous ministry, you know? It's not a ministry to...
I'm shaking my head over here going, well, that is so true.
I mean, and when I say glamorous ministry, I mean a ministry that's really readily embraced. You know, like, oh, a ministry to the orphans. Oh, of course. Let's, and not to diminish that type of a ministry, but it's so much easier to embrace certain ministries, I think, in certain folks' perspective, because there is, there seems to be this great cloud of fear and misunderstanding and exhaustion surrounding the idea of day in and day out working on the topic of purity.
Well, and the other thing I'd say about it is men don't want to talk about it because they have to admit weakness, and women don't want to hear about it because it means, you know, they're vulnerable to this, so nobody wants to talk about it.
Mm-hmm. What else you have?
Number four, if you work on good habits and patterns, when you get to hard times, those habits and patterns will carry you. And I say that because... about 6 months ago, my wife died of cancer. And after she passed away, I knew I had to be very careful. And for the first couple of months, I did not watch any television at all, any movies in home or in theater. And for 2 months, I just listened to the radio, worship music, quieted myself, stayed busy doing things I needed to get done. And here I am at 6 months, and... what I'm finding is the patterns that I've established for several years that you and I have just talked about being faithful and faithful, and those patterns are carrying me through a very difficult transition in my life. I learned, I practiced, and now when I don't have a spouse, I don't have a sexual partner, now when I'm single again, God is faithful, and those things that I gave him as offerings of pattern and faithfulness, he's now literally carrying me on those very things.
And it seems like those patterns, once established, it's like you're creating a whole new response system. You know, the old response system was based on mood, based on, you know, temperament, based on circumstance. And it's as if your new response system is based on a connection, a relationship with God, a deepening intimacy with other guys in your life. You know, the response system changes because the perspective of what you're focused on has changed.
Yeah, but sexual desire doesn't change much,
right.
You know. I still have cravings. I want female touch, and I want girls to laugh at my jokes, and I want to be recognized. And I mean, I got all that from my wife, and so I'm having to go on another journey, and we should talk about that on one of the radio shows.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll keep moving if that's okay.
Go for it.
I've got a list of six things. So number five on my list is I've had to take an honest look at myself for who I am during this transition period. And what I'm finding is I'm a caretaker. That means I want to please other people, make them happy. And I'm really good at listening to what you need and doing that. But I'm not always that good at being honest with who I am and what I need and myself. Caretakers love to define themselves by others, by the needs of others, the wants of others, being pleasing to others. But if I'm not a caretaker, who am I? You know, what are the expectations of God? And it's incredible how our wives define us. What are we going to do this weekend? Well, let's see what my wife wants to do. You know, that's when you're married, you always have to, you know, let me run this by my wife. I'm going to spend some money, but let me check with her and see. When, you know, all the decisions are in relationship, but when you go into a transition such as mine and your role doesn't work, who are you now? And that's kind of a deep, difficult question, but even on the purity journey, I think God is still growing us, you, Jonathan, and me, and you with little kids, and me being single again, and I think he's teaching us things on this journey.
Well, and how would you, just to take a little side journey here, how would you go about doing that honest self-assessment? I mean, what is kind of the process of of in this, whether you're in a time of transition or whether you're just starting your purity journey or whether you're a little ways into it, what is involved in really self-assessment?
Well, you can't know this until you get all the noise and clutter out of the way, right? Mm-hmm. So the first thing to do is start a walk for a while, and then I think God will present you the time and the place for you to do a deeper look at yourself. And I don't know if I'm sidestepping your issue, but a lot of people can't understand your question right now because they're too deep into the struggle, the addiction, the noise, the routine, the patterns and cycles.
So they're probably more focused on behavior right now.
Yeah, they're trying to cope with their spouses and keep their little game a secret. And so they're not even in the arena of looking honestly, deeply within yourself. That has to occur when there's more quiet and there's more alone and there's more. And see, I think it's difficult even for you. I think you have to expend yourself giving to your children. I think you will not have a lot of personal deep reflection time at this phase in your life. But that doesn't mean you're not going to go through this phase. It just means right now with little ones and demands and wives and, you know, there's not enough for you to spend hours contemplating.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So maybe part of understanding self-assessment is realizing that there are seasons for it.
That's good. Yes, I would agree with that.
That it's not something that you can just flip a switch and all of a sudden I'm going to just be able to sit down today and completely accurately self-assess.
And I think you have to go try all your stuff, right? Because when we're young, we're not going, I want to assess myself. I'm 20. We're going,
What do you mean when you say try all your stuff?
Well, all your thinking and your routines and your ways of coping and making people laugh and like you and conquering the world or being such a deep thinker, you have deep thoughts, or you know, if you're a computer, you're going to come up with the perfect software program or perfect machine. Go do all your stuff and try to figure it out yourself. But at some point, you kind of run out of all your stuff and you're sitting there and life is still going on and you didn't become the president. You didn't get the big deal. You're not the person going, everybody's going about. And even if you get to the top, it's really lonely there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those guys are still reflecting, okay, I got everything I wanted, but what did I get? You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think there is a season when you will have the time to self-reflect. Shall I go on?
Please.
My last one is go find some men. I've had this belief about myself that I'm realizing now that I think is a wrong belief. I have believed that if I worked really hard and did good things, that people would come find me and reward me. And to some degree, that's true. People always thank you and reward you. But that's, you don't always, well, you can't always just sit around waiting for people to come and find you. And I really and recognize you. And I mean, I think this is part of my training as a child. Work hard and wait around for recognition, and work really hard and wait around for recognition. And that's just a belief I picked up somewhere on the journey. And what I learned, I went to a men's retreat this past weekend, and what God said to me was, stop waiting around for men to come find you. Go find the men. They're out there. They need you to go get them because they're all sitting around waiting for somebody to get them. And the whole strategy of waiting around for somebody to come find you, somebody to come pull you out, somebody to draw you in, wait around. I'm telling you, that's the wrong strategy. When God gives you a vision, go find other men and share it with them.
And what are some of the obstacles to doing that? I mean, what are some of the key obstacles to guys...
You mean personally?
Well, because I think, isn't there a temptation, like you said, there's a temptation to think that it should all come to us. And what's the fundamental shift that has to occur in a guy before he's really going to take the initiative to...
Well, mine would be pain.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just think I've been waiting around and nobody showed up and I'm tired of waiting around. And I see things happening in other people's lives and I'm going, have you ever thought this, you know... They know something I don't know. Look at them. They know something I don't know. And I think I had one of those aha moments this weekend. And I think I've believed it because I haven't sat around. But, I mean, I really, really got it this weekend. And it occurred in a moment where men were praying and just quietly praying. I went around behind these guys, and I put my hands, two hands on their shoulders and prayed for them. And I could just feel them kind of be surprised, you know, receive a blessing. And God gave me in that vision, go find the men and stop waiting around for them to come find you.
Which is a great model. I mean, which Jesus modeled for us. I mean, it said he went town to town, you know. He's the one that got up and walked, and he's the one that went and certainly people came to him wherever he was, but ultimately it was because he had the initiative to first go to those places,
right.
And then the crowds came.
And he called men out.
Sure.
And he was doing, that's right.
Well, let me just kind of recap what you shared with us so that our listeners can kind of have a summary here of what you've gone over and some of the insights that you have shared. The first one was that life is so daily. The second one you said, you can't handle it. And I think that's a really important one to remember, no matter what stage you are in the journey of life, is the moment you start thinking you can handle it is usually the moment before it kicks you in the face. Mm. The third thing you mentioned was when are you going to talk about another topic?
You're right.
And I think that says more about faithfulness than anything else, of saying, okay, God's called you to this, stick with it. The fourth thing you mentioned was that good habits and patterns will carry you through transitions, carry you through difficult times, carry you through temptation. And so building those good habits is essential. Then the fifth thing you mentioned was to have honest self-assessment, which we discussed a little bit, doesn't necessarily come the first day you realize that you need to get some help. Sometimes it takes a little bit of time to let the noise quiet down before you can really get an honest self-assessment. And then finally you said, for those guys, you got to go find some men. You got to go do this thing in community. You can't leave yourself out there to be plucked off. And like you, I think what you were saying is, as you go out and find these men, you in turn receive a blessing back for that.
That's right. And, you know, it's like, pick me for your team. You know, I want to be the chosen one. You pick me. I want you to convey value and importance to me. You pick me. I'm waiting for you, for somebody to come recognize me and value me. Well, you know what? The Son of God already did that. And I really think he hit me this weekend pretty hard, going, get up, stop waiting around, whining, and go bless other men. Reach out to other men. And I don't know if I sound like I'm being too hard on myself, because you and I know, you know, we both go out and talk to a lot of folks and do that. But I'm just thinking, I think we have lies at the core of our being. And I think I believed that lie for a long time, that, you know, somebody's going to find you and affirm you, and then it's going to come together.
Well, Stephen, thanks for sharing your insights. I think this is really going to bless a lot of folks, and we look forward to hearing back from some of the listeners how this broadcast has really blessed them. So appreciate it, and we're looking forward to the broadcast next week.
Today's Purity Pointer. Making a point that makes a difference. Brought to you by Pure Sex Radio.
Do you see a life of purity as a gift? If not, you're not alone. Many people view living a life of purity as a duty or obligation. It's like a sort of back-breaking burden that they must endure. But this isn't how God wants us to see purity. He has a larger vision he wants us to embrace. Purity as a gift. I remember when I began my first steps on the journey to purity over 7 years ago. I was scared, embarrassed, angry, and all other sorts of emotions combined. I knew that all I had done secretly up to that point had proven empty and caused severe damage to all my relationships. I also knew that if I didn't change, my life would only worsen. But one thought that never entered my mind was to see the journey ahead as a gift. No, at that time it seemed more like a horrible torture chamber, with me wobbling forward in a direction I'd never gone and without any point of reference to guide me. I felt so lost and alone, but I also knew I had no other choice. You see, this is where the gift part comes in. God truly is merciful. He didn't need to put up with my rebellion. He didn't have to be patient and gentle with me. He would have been justified in just removing me from the planet. But he showed mercy and instead decided to take me on a journey of healing and restoration. And by showing such mercy, he was offering a gift I never would have received otherwise, the gift of a changed life. Interestingly, the journey to purity is not one of ease or comfort. In fact, it costs. It costs a lot. And it even requires pain as part of the process. I know it's hard to wrap our minds around the idea of pain being part of a gift, but this is the way to freedom. Learning to endure pain in order to reach the promised land of purity, peace, and freedom produces deeply ingrained character traits that would not otherwise exist. Patience, humility, and gentleness. It's often hard to see this connection between pain and purity, but once it's realized, the pace seems to quicken toward the life you always desired. I challenge you to make a shift in your thinking regarding your personal pursuit of purity. Rather than see each day as a monumental burden of endless temptations to resist, begin to embrace the gift of purity that awaits just beyond the pain of momentary sacrifice. As you develop this new mindset of thanksgiving for such a merciful gift, you will certainly experience more victory and even enjoy the abundant life God provides.
Purity Pointer is a service of Pure Sex Radio. Listen to previous Purity Pointers at www.puresexradio.com.
Man, are you looking for a good place to start your journey towards purity? Then I want to recommend our 40 Days of Purity workbook. It is an outstanding resource that gives you daily insights and practical purity tips that you can use to become the man of purity that you want to be. We also want to give a 10% discount to all of our listeners. So if you will go to our online store at sexaddictstore.com, and when you check out, use the coupon code RADIO. And you'll get your 10% discount. So again, go to sexaddictstore.com and use the coupon code RADIO to get your 10% discount on our 40 Days of Purity workbook.
Thanks for listening to today's broadcast. We want to hear from you. This broadcast is not possible without the prayers and financial contributions of listeners like you. Please send your notes and donations to Pure Sex Radio, 1800 Northeast Loop 410, Suite 415, San Antonio, Texas, 78217. Again, the mailing address is 1800 Northeast Loop 410, Suite 415, San Antonio, Texas, 78217. You may also reach us by phone toll-free at 1-800-49-PURITY. Our toll-free number again is 1-800-497-8748. Our website is a great resource for archived broadcasts, helpful resources, and secure donations. Simply visit www.puresexradio.com for more information. Well, that wraps up our time together on this week's Pure Sex Radio broadcast. We look forward to having you back next time when we again tackle real-life struggles with lust, porn, and sex addiction. Until then, remember, the price you pay today for purity is a bargain compared to the pain it costs if you put it off.